Okay, roll it now.
Better
and roll it. This is Open Up and Bleed. I'm Eugene, your host. Welcome. Thanks for listening. And I'm here with some very special guests. I'm staring at three, count it, one, two, three incredible people across from me. I have Cody, Krichol.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, great.
How are you guys?
Great. I'm sure all 5,000 of our regular listeners, plus your guys' fan base, is loving to hear that. Yeah. And then we have a Tierney.
Hey.
And Michelle.
Hey.
Wow, all three great voice tenors. Have you guys ever done any sort of voiceover or animated voice work?
I have always dreamed of doing so.
Me too. I would love to.
We should come up with a cartoon.
I want to be that little kitty.
There's a lion, a statuesque lion with a wig here. I wouldn't exactly call that an animated character since it's in the flesh.
We could draw it.
That's true.
Somebody could.
30, 24 times a second. It sounds like a lot of work.
We'll hire
to outsource
someone.
That. Yeah. Have you guys ever done any outsourcing? Like, you know, you guys make a lot of projects. You're all creative people. Have you ever outsourced?
Very creative.
Okay.
And we get paid a lot to be so creative. Which is crazy
great
that
minds.
We had time to take a break from our creativity to come.
Well, this is part of
it.
Sometimes
I love reconnecting.
Sometimes it's really important to process.
And we're all from the South.
Exactly. I hear that.
You can hear that in our voice.
Especially you, Michelle.
I know.
Where in the South are you from?
Where am I from? Well,
down South. Deep down.
Deep. Georgia South.
I got to be honest, guys. I'm going to Birmingham, Alabama on Thursday.
Oh, you're
going to
love it.
I've been there before, and I like it. Have you ever been there?
I've never been there.
The structure of the city is very similar to Los Angeles.
Really?
It's hilly. There's a lot of different neighborhoods. There's a very segregationist divide, much like here, and like many major metropolitan cities.
Most.
Now, who here was raised in a kind of segregationist environment? Raise your hand.
Me.
You were. Where were you raised?
Kentucky. Actually, it wasn't even segregated. It just didn't exist.
There was no diversity.
No, there was no diversity.
It's all whiteies like you.
I mean, it was so small. Uh-huh. But then when I moved to Kansas City, it was really segregated.
Right.
But I didn't even realize how segregated it was until I left.
What was your... did you make a personal effort to cross the lines of segregation?
Yeah, I went to the gay bar.
Yeah.
That's where it wasn't segregated.
Right. Why do you think that is? Just because men be out hunting?
I think it's because, like, you know, music makes the people a rebel.
Music does.
Yeah.
But just gay music. Just gay music.
Gay music is the revolution.
Actually, I would say that gay music
makes
the bourgeoisie a rebel.
Uh-huh. Do you think gay is bourgeoisie now?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, like just normal white gay guys. It's like basically the symbol of bourgeoisie.
I had sex with my first white guy this year, actually.
Oh, tell us about it.
It was awesome. It was.
Who did you use to have?
That you fetishized racists in the past?
Who did you use? Yeah. No, that's a great question. Who did you used to have sex with before this white guy? Now, once you go white, you never go back.
I mean, it wasn't specific, but it was like this was the first like guy that had like blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
Blue eyes.
All-American Robert Redford type.
You told me you used to not like blondes.
I don't. I mean, I still don't go for it, but, like, you know, he had the right smell, so we just went off.
Do you guys wear perfume or cologne or anything?
So many ones.
You like it?
I love it.
I don't like it. I'm with you, Michelle. What do you wear?
Well, I am...
Are you wearing something now? You love it, Cody.
Yeah, you can smell a little bit.
So we got two and
two.
I'm not wearing it right now.
It's, like, just a very light... I wear White Nirvana by Mary Kate and Ashley.
Uh huh.
And it smells so good.
Do you support their business model?
I'm so proud of those girls.
They've really done it. They're still doing it.
I do.
They're still doing it. But do you like what they do? You like their perfume?
I like the perfume, and they're supposed to make a dry shampoo that Sephora had. You could like pre-order it, but then they canceled the pre-order, so I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
The clothing.
So much suspense.
It's TBD, but the clothing. It's not made for my style choices, but I think as a business duo...
Right, you respect
dual star forever,
Dual star.
Do you respect when someone is business successful more when they come from humble beginnings?
Always.
Yes.
Always, right? But they didn't come from humble beginnings.
Well, they came from beginnings no one else's.
They came from magic.
That's true. They were literally magic.
So it's different. You can't judge them in the same way.
But they also
You're right. They were exploited. Well, they didn't. They weren't born with the silver spoon. They were born with twin.
They've worked more than any of us.
That is so true. They didn't have childhood.
No,
you're right.
And so that's the natural. It's the natural conclusion.
And they weren't born beautiful either. They were ugly babies.
I think they were cute. I think they were cute.
I mean, but all babies are ugly. Let's be honest.
You know, I really like
babies. Coming from someone who's never going to have any.
Coming from someone who was never a baby.
Who was never a baby. You were born with facial hair.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michelle, what was that? I'm missing it.
I don't know what I said.
You were probably trashing
I said unpopular opinion.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Babies are ugly. But we were already... It was really...
I don't think either of them... Do you love babies, Michelle?
I like them when they're very first born, tiny.
So I was born purple and
I really like babies. I think they're so...
I think they're cute, too.
Cool.
But I'm a sucker for, like... I was watching a video 2 days ago, all these different animals eating watermelon. I thought it was so cute.
I saw a panda.
It's you've seen it, but you're looking not in real life.
No, I was
I've seen it too, Eugene.
I was just thinking, like, I much prefer a baby to an animal, and I think that it really is like not that we have to prefer one to the other because obviously
I've seen them coexist. That's a different YouTube compilation.
We're all at both.
Yeah,
but like, I would probably have a baby before I had a pet. And it's something I think about a lot.
What's stopping you?
How do you know she's not going
to...
Well,
I'd love to have a big announcement on the show. Like, if you want to tell us all that you're about to have
time,
a baby...
At this time, I have to say that I can't confirm anything, but at any moment...
Wow.
It could.
On air? Can you believe it? Good thing you guys are both trained as... what do you call that?
Midwives. Doulas.
Midwives. I was going to say housemaids.
We're midwives.
We are.
Yeah. And you know Cody, well, she's the wet nurse, so she'll be the one nursing the baby.
She's
after
a wet nurse.
Yeah,
definitely.
Luckily, the baby is also trained as a midwife, so that's good. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground already. I know right before the show started, y'all were itching to talk about this hot new Halloween costume. You guys are all already pre-ordered instead of the dry shampoo. It's like, I gotta spend this $39.99 somewhere. Caitlyn Jenner Halloween costume. Yeah.
Cody brought it to our attention moments before the show.
She must have some pretty evolved thoughts on
scrolling.
It, Cody.
No, I don't. I feel like I can't talk about anything.
That's okay.
But that's changing.
Is it because of the non-disclosure agreement or something? Why can't
I just, a lot of times, just don't like to talk about that kind of stuff. But I feel like I'm turning over a new leaf.
Well, actually, when I was driving over here, I was
she's finding her voice.
Finally.
No, that's important. Like, we're more or less people in the world.
I'm aggravated a little bit.
Okay,
so, you know,
bye.
I don't know, in general. Like, the tide is turning.
Yeah.
But hopefully it turns back, because I don't want to be aggro all the time.
You don't want to be a person who discusses your opinion about politics. Is that what you're saying? You'd rather be just a chill guy, Netflix and chill, and just go
well,
with...
It's hard when you're, like, you know, in the public eye and everyone's, like, trying to, like...
Constantly listening.
Like, yeah, it's like anything I say gets blown out of context, you know?
Time after time.
It's crazy, because it's, like, I could be, like... Uh-huh. It's, like, you know, if I like the costume, then, like, you know...
You're insensitive to trans issues.
Yeah. Actually, but I honestly,
Cody mocks Caitlyn.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
Cody mocks.
We both have C's. That's
Hashtag that. It's
Cocky.
Easy.
Yeah. Actually, I don't really care. What do you guys think?
I think it's just like, it's not.
Is it bad?
It's not to do any good.
It's to cash in on capital.
There's tons of costumes of other, you know, non-trans people, but it is like the Halloween is like when the freaks come out, and it's like making trans a freak thing.
It's like
again,
a thing that, like,
oh, really? Huh.
But I mean, I'm not that so bothered by it, actually.
I could see. See, I didn't even think of that because I'm so insensitive. That, like, obviously, it's about as freakish as a sexy nurse.
I think the type of person that would buy that costume is a ridiculous straight identifying super mass guy who loves to get freaky.
It's like and, a sort of person who fucks the who Nicki wishes, Minaj
yeah exactly staff. And like wishes that he was doing some sort of experimentation with his own dress, or wishes he was like fucking trans women or something, and then he's instead just
or
like
just
fetishizing
or
it in a negative way.
Or don't
way.
You think it's maybe just less complicated than that, just like an aggro insensitive person. Look, I don't mean let me just change the subject briefly. I don't mean to be one of these people who's like, it used to be cooler, everything used to be way better, but like, when did Halloween, let me get on a Fox News tip here, when did Halloween become an excuse to just like get super slutty and fuck?
Well, I think actually always. My grandmother.
Okay, tell me.
My grandmother.
Actually always. I want to be proven.
In the
idiot.
Early
Thank
60s,
you.
My grandmother and my great aunt, who were very, like, you know, Catholic, Puerto Rican Catholic conservative women, they would, every holiday, they would dress up as hookers.
Very sexy.
And it was like their one night where they could really get
but
freaky.
But if you want to go with Tierney's theory, why don't you extrapolate your theory there, Tierney?
I don't think.
Her aunt and, what's your grandma?
My grandmother, yeah.
Wanted secretly to become
to become hookers.
If we apply Tierney's
mind. Michelle and I have both also dressed in similar. I never had a Halloween costume as a quote hooker, and I don't even really say hooker. But Michelle dressed as a dead hooker when I first met her, about a month after I first met her, with revealing underwear and a fur coat and blood.
Uh-oh. Wow.
So maybe we could just concentrate on the. In
moment.
Studio example.
Yeah.
Did you want to be a hooker?
You know.
Did you want to be a dead hooker?
It's the thing is, I really don't remember what. I think I wanted something. I wanted to keep in the theme of Halloween being a little scary, but I also wanted to get fucked, maybe.
And did you? Was it successful?
No, I think I just threw up that night.
That's the exact opposite.
Same
you think
thing.
It's the same?
Well
it's almost the opposite.
Something
though. Instead
comes
of
real
something
human.
In,
yeah.
Goes out.
Yeah.
But you're right. Maybe you were looking to pitch, in which case throwing up is great.
To pitch. Wow. Haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah. Like pitching means
to give it.
You're a top.
To top.
Yeah,
okay.
To give it. Yeah.
And
but
bottom
you,
is a catcher.
A catcher.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
There you go. Well, welcome
that is so
to the
cool,
straight
y'all.
World over here on this side of the table. But let me say this. If you had a choice again in 2015, you probably wouldn't so quickly dress up as a dead hooker.
I think...
You think you would?
I don't think I would, just because I've already done it.
It'd be more nuanced.
But I would, it would be more nuanced, yeah.
Great word.
That is the writer
word. You know what I'm trying to get at, right?
Like,
we're living in a time where, like, there will be so many sharks who will come after you. Social justice warriors.
It's a tough...
Who will say,
yeah.
Like, with all of the human trafficking, with all of the sex
I
trafficking going on,
sex
how
work
dare
and
you?
Sex workers.
Yeah, I think it's a finicky
right, you guys know about the
Amnesty
International thing, and
yes.
Also,
yeah.
We're all for it. In fact, Chris Glazek, who's here, actually brought up an interesting point to me. I'm obviously, I think, whatever, celebrities obviously don't get it. They're saying, no, like you. Yes, prostitution, sex work, whatever, should be decriminalized. But he's saying, why decriminalize? Why not make it fully legal? And
yeah.
Amnesty International said, well, we asked sex workers, and they said they prefer to be decriminalized. And then I was like, well, yeah, because they don't want to fucking pay taxes.
Yeah.
If you make it legal, then they have to pay taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, we don't want it to be legal, but we also don't want to be part of the system. Which, in my view, is perfect. You know? Imagine all of the things that are rebellious were allowed to be not criminalized,
but
weren't integrated
their, yeah.
into the capitalist structure. Then they might actually be still like valuable in a sort of way of subversion, i.e.
weed and sex,
gay culture.
Yeah,
but maybe also weed, sex, huh? Yeah,
sex,
the final
huh?
frontier or the first one.
Both.
Is that the final frontier?
A space more like in popular like whatever weed culture.
Yeah.
Space is not.
And, well, okay. While we're talking about sex work, with you know something,
space,
yeah.
Space. I mean, yeah.
Space
I mean,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
I think you have to be a true pervert to die for space.
To die for space.
I mean, this is going to come back to me, you know, but it's like, because I'm very, very, very famous.
Like, you're literally blacklisted.
I don't want to die
for
space. When we're evacuating this planet 10 years from now, you're not allowed to come.
You're not on the list.
I would love to talk to, you know, perhaps other species and livings abroad in space.
Livings?
Sure, whatever is it. I'm not,
Livens.
But I don't, I'm not gonna, galactic, whatever, no, Virgin Galactic, awesome. I don't think I'll be on one of the first voyages.
Well, we already established that.
I just think it's it's like imperialism, but in space, which is like really not your domain.
Just more room to throw our trash.
More room
before
to throw your
dick.
Before
we move away from the whole sex work thing, let me be basically walking, talking current events here. You guys are aware that this website called RentBoy.com.
Yes.
Wait, I don't know about that.
RentBoy.com was raided today by Homeland Security.
Why?
One question, quickly. Brian, did we sound okay?
Perfect.
Okay, great.
Before
Cody gets deep into RentBoy.
Because
not for the first time.
They're saying money laundering and using this money laundering along with but the main thing is like having this prostitution ring for years, or calling it a prostitution ring, and saying that the language RentBoy uses to describe itself and its business is like concealing the fact that it's a very simple, easy, highly effective sex work tool.
Uh-huh.
So they raided it. It's been going, like, RentBoy began in 1997.
So long ago. The beginning of the internet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
RentBoy.com.
They didn't even have websites.
It's like before AOL. Truly the first oldest profession.
Yeah.
Before AOL.
Yeah.
I guess the loophole that they used for so long was they would say, look, we just hook up someone and someone else.
And they do
and
what they do.
And whatever they do in the privacy of their own room, that's
it's their
them.
Business.
Yeah.
We just are a finding service, just people who want to hang out.
It's just
that's how escort services used to survive, too. That was the big defense on the Mayflower Madam and eventually
just, like,
Heidi
matching
Fleiss
people.
Exactly.
I love Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah.
I think...
Me, too.
I think it's,
me
like,
three.
Especially now, there's no way... I obviously love Heidi Fleiss. There's no way now
okay,
to...
That's great.
There's no way to, like... control how people, you know what I mean? Like, if people are going to have that relationship, they can have it on any social media platform, any
for
internet
sure.
communication
I
thing.
Could
like,
Tinder someone right now.
Exactly.
I'd love to give $50
to
lick
suck
my
your
butt.
Toe. Yeah.
Yeah,
whatever. And people
Grindr.
Would do it, and
people
it's fine. And just chill mm-hmm. already. You know?
Exactly.
Know.
Government, chill. Don't invade.
Just seems like
government
there's a lot.
To invade.
It's just a joke, too, because it's like so much matter of what data is. Like, I just think like people would be very interested to know like who's on RentBoy. So it's, like, a question, like, I work with Zach Stone, you know,
yeah.
and we're talking today about it, and he is just saying, like, where does this data all go, and what's that going to be used for?
Do you think
for?
People are embarrassed to be on RentBoy? Do you think the privacy element of it...
I think any time that someone's sexual information
right. like
or
Madison,
preferences
that whole
is just...
Shit has
yeah, like,
such
I don't think those
storm.
Things are inherently shameful or embarrassing
yeah.
or bad,
but
when...
people... Culture uses that against
yeah, and if you're... You don't... If when we're doing things we don't think people are going to find out about, that's a
is
violation.
That why, and just to take it back a second, Cody, do you think maybe, and I want to talk about this because I'm like this too, like on the one hand, because I used to have a nihilistic punk radio show in this very room, I think like, I don't care about fuck politics, fuck all this shit that's going on, I'm just going to do me. And whatever, like, the world around me, the exterior forces, I'm going to, like, ignore them, and I'm going to rise above them, and I'm going to, you know, as a white guy.
I was
going
to say, you can only feel that way.
As a straight white guy, God bless me for feeling that way. You know, but on the other hand, it's like, you go out there, and you say how you really feel about stuff, and there's a lot of liability, especially if you don't, like, espouse whatever is the... not trendy, but, you know, whatever is the moral viewpoint of that moment or within your social sphere, you know? And so, I guess I'm just throwing it out there to you guys. You don't seem like you guys have any difficulty voicing your opinions, but at the same time, it's like, we could be marching right now. You know, we could be marching against
for
Donald
RentBoy.
Trump. Or, yeah, against the RentBoy raid. Exactly. We could be, you know,
we
could be trying to raise money on GoFundChange.org
yeah.
to get them out of prison or
I just think there's, like, this idea... I don't know. I think it's something that comes up so much today for me and then in general is, like, this idea of like what activist culture looks like now, or like how, what's the appropriate way to like actually like have political action or have political thought that's not just so dormant, you know? And I don't know what like
what
where
do you
else
mean by dormant,
just like
verbal,
because, you know, I think like we armchair. There's a tendency to be like, yeah, you know, we have all this Tumblr, just yeah. Twitter, Facebook, very, you
great
know,
guy with a stupid
blog
radio show.
Yeah, just click it like we're doing good. And I think there's such an attempt, like people are really critical of that social justice warrior vibe in the Halloween costumes and like that context, and we should be critical of it, and I get why, but then it also, it's just one of those things where it becomes funny to me that we have to like
but then the question
it's
is,
like, is it well used energy to just like critique the some people who give an F, or you know, I don't know. I think it is fruitful for sure too, but it's just like the conversation is really big.
But you said in there kind of like, I essentially agree with everything you said, but somewhere in there embedded, just very casually, you said like, and we should do this, of course, but should people like just go all in on the Caitlyn Jenner? Like they're just trying to make money. They're trying to exploit this situation. Someone sees a way to make money and they're going to do it. And if people think it sucks, then they won't fucking buy it. And if people do buy it and wear it, then they're going to be made to feel bad and ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in the like, food chain of visibility, someone's going to take shit for it. I just feel like, who is it on? Like, you know? Like I'm sure we've all done something that people gave us shit for, and our intentionality was completely misconstrued.
Sure.
Don't you think? Michelle, you
no,
look
No, I'm just thinking, like, I think with the Caitlyn Jenner thing, I mean, yeah. It's not so much, like, the Halloween costume is the problem. I mean, I think if that's what you have a problem with, what you really have a problem with is the larger framework that allows for us to make trans, you know, like, freakish costumes or whatever. I think, like, that's what you're mad about. You're not mad about the specific costume.
I think what, like, the type of conversation I was trying to describe is then me here, like, if I was listening and I was like, well, you know, that girl Michelle had a lot of really good things to say, but then she just described it as a trans freakish costume. And I think, you know, like, when we get so nitpicky with language.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't actually, like, they become really politicized because from a place of privilege. So then, like, their focus on the conversation becomes, like, I know the definitions and I know the words and I know what we're supposed to do. But it's like, if you've never been poor, if you've never been this, if you've never been this and have no context, then it's like, stop creating that conversation, because there's a real life conversation.
Yeah, but you think if someone has been oppressed and if they have felt sort of alienated and just completely sort of outside of the conversation, then they do have the privilege and the right to talk about those very same things, right?
I just think perhaps, like, that's like a blanket statement too, but it's just like the idea that I know my friend is a national union organizer, so she really is for a certain cause that she always is protesting. But when she goes and unionizes people per college campus, and so within those campuses, sometimes maybe there's people who like took a sociology class and learned about you know, this issue, and then is there and is fighting with her now, who's a national you know, ambassador of the organization, being like, but you said crazy, and there's people with mental disabilities, so don't say crazy. And it's kind of like, damn, let me breathe so that I can work, you know.
I agree. I think people who know what they're talking about should always get a chance to talk about it, and people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about should probably yield to others.
Yield is a great word.
Okay, cool. So, Cody, how long are you in town for?
I don't know.
Cool. I love it when you stay indefinitely.
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
So is it, really, though?
Yeah,
like I stayed indefinitely, the Cody Kricalu story?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Because I never know.
Mm-hmm. But you like that sort of up in the air. It doesn't create anxiety for you?
No, it makes me anxious.
It does. Mm-hmm. Do you have a steady place where you're sleeping?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Is it alone?
Well, yeah. I mean,
right.
I think.
You mean there's a succubus to come to you in the night?
What do you mean?
did you sleep alone last night, Tierney?
I did.
How do you feel about that? Okay.
Pretty good.
Okay. Michelle, did you sleep alone last night?
I did.
You did?
I did. I loved it.
You loved it?
Loved it.
What kind of size bed do you have?
I have a full size bed.
Full?
Full. Not quite a queen, but a full.
Uh-huh. That's about, what, 80% of a queen?
Yeah, about 80.
80% queen.
It's 80%
you're about
80% queen,
queen. What's the other 20%?
You'll have to find out.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, Southern Belle. All right. Yeah, you guys should prep me. You know, something happens to me, and you toured, and you guys have probably traveled a lot. I don't travel that much. Something happens when I go to the South. I'm there for 2 days. I soak in all of the accent,
know,
dialect, cracker, and then when I come, I love it. And when I come back, I'm sounding like that.
It's
and
cool.
Yeah, it's cool, but it's also like that Seinfeld episode, you know, where Jerry's sitting there for a while, and then he stands up, and he has, like, his leg fell asleep,
uh-huh,
and there's a guy with a limp, and he thinks he's making fun of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll come back. I love it. You know, just part of me now for a sec. I mean, right now I sound vaguely retarded. When I come back, I'll sound good. Like,
did you hear what he did?
He just
oh,
said
my
retarded.
God. He said vague. So yeah, people think it's like offensive or I'm making fun of it, you know, but I'm not.
I've never been to the South or seen Seinfeld.
Shut the hell up. Or seen
I
Seinfeld.
I promise.
You've never seen Seinfeld.
I've seen the clip of Elaine dancing.
A gif. You've just seen the gif.
Not a gif. A clip.
Not a fucking gif. Don't you dare.
You know, one of the main things about psychopaths, like for instance, you've never been to the South, yet you're pulling off this great Southern accent. You've never really seen Seinfeld,
no,
but you can talk about it intelligibly, is that they're great at lying. Psychopaths.
They're also really bad kissers.
Is
psychopaths.
That
that's the test,
kisser.
Huh?
No, I feel like if I'm making out with someone and they kiss bad, like they're a serial killer or something.
Wow. And you've had that experience, right?
Where I've made out with
someone who kissed
and then
poorly.
They killed them. You like,
and then
they killed
that person
me.
Killed you.
Killed
it's incredible
no,
that you're
I
here to share
like
this.
That's real.
You do.
Or something.
Yeah,
well,
that's great. Because
you feel them.
But they're usually okay, like, fucking. But
just the kissing.
Like, yeah, I feel like if someone's not a good kisser, like...
Everyone needs to have their own test, right? Like, their own litmus signifier for what is crazy. Like, if
but
you,
not that I know. I don't
or,
know.
Like,
no,
you could hook up with someone who you don't speak... Like, what we were talking, Michelle and I, before this, to a friend who's moving to Spain and was talking about... Last time she was in Spain, she hooked up with a Spanish guy, and I said, me too. And we were talking about not really knowing the language, but then maintaining... senses of safety, and I was like, just because you go to a new country doesn't mean we're still not like readers of vibes.
No,
yeah, like
yeah,
it's
definitely.
You still
and now
it's
with
not.
Like Google Translate, it's so
she
awesome.
Said she didn't want to put data on.
Well, it's like someone talks into your Google Translate on your phone, and then you just translate the vibe. You don't
yeah.
even need to translate it into English.
That's
no,
my
I
new like, app.
I was in
tell
Barcelona
us what you were doing.
This
yeah.
summer,
uh-huh.
and I met this guy, and he couldn't speak
Everybody's
English.
Meeting guys in Barcelona.
And, like, we were...
That's a spot.
It was so cute. It was really endearing. Like, we would just, like, write back and forth on my phone and do it and then write.
But then what happened, what happened in person?
What do you mean?
Oh, literally, you guys are together.
I just went to the club, right? And I thought he was cute. And so
no, but I mean,
to
you guys are together
like,
writing on your phone.
Yeah,
translated.
Like
oh
in
my
bed,
God, that
like
is
back
cute.
And forth.
Oh my God.
And he was a mechanic.
Hot.
Oh my God!
Mine's
did he ever
a
wear an
driver.
Outfit like this? I'm wearing a kind
mm-hmm.
of. Okay.
No, he had like friends. He had like Eurotrash jeans, like the low rise, like
distressed
of a flare,
distressed
uh-huh.
with
like all the jeweled pockets.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
would you ever
cute.
Rock that? I was thinking of buying
no,
a pair
cool.
like that.
He said, "Would you ever rock it?
<It's cool.
laughs>
yeah, I like
it. I like on the back pockets.
I thought it was cute.
Right?
Yeah.
I was thinking of buying a pair of that. But
you
I was
should.
Like, I will soon, probably.
man.
What? You want that ice cream?
No, I
you miss the guy.
I do miss him.
What's
yeah.
his name? Shout out.
What is his name?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
He misses him so
no,
much.
Wait.
What was his name?
Oh, God. He misses his vibes, okay?
Juan Daniel.
Uh-huh.
Wow. They have such sexy Spanish in Barcelona, right?
I don't, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Hola.
Hola.
Where
Catalan.
Are, so Cody, you are a director, a visual artist,
mm-hmm.
and a musician, right?
Yep.
And so you were in Europe mm-hmm. for music, that's correct?
What?
When you were there in Barcelona, it was for music?
Yeah, we were on tour.
Where would in Europe are your biggest fans?
Barcelona's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Paris.
Uh-huh.
I
do they get it in Paris? Do they get music?
Shockingly.
And, like, I'm
because
like,
I'm so American and I'm so
uh-huh.
tacky and trashy,
right.
which is
you
like everything
are.
That they're against. But they like they eat it up. Which
a
is
certain
crazy.
Crowd, right? The right crowd.
Yeah, it's the right crowd.
There were you know less than 1,000 people.
But I like playing Europe way more than America.
You
know?
Do because they go for it, right?
Yeah.
In America, like a lot of people don't go balls to the
well, they
wall.
Do, but it's like I don't know. You just get treated better.
Oh, okay.
In general. Is that and the, like, the breakfast at the hotel is, like, to die for.
Got it. Now we know what you're really after.
And that's just, like, you know, just, like, I don't know. It's beautiful guys, beautiful girls. Where else is good? Berlin's cool, but that's so generic to
I'm
say.
Still surprised. Okay, so my concept of Paris, and let me just throw some shade on a place that I haven't been to in over 8 years, is that they don't have any taste beyond like the things that are already established. So I love movies. They have the best movie culture there. I could go see like 5 great old and or potentially new movies a day there, and I did. Okay, but like if I want to go there and get to like, it's gonna be hard for me not speaking French to find the right part. There's maybe one or two of like good parties going on per night there, as opposed to places like New York. It's probably like 5 to 7 good parties going on per night. Don't you think? Is that crazy?
Relative.
I guess, yeah.
Relative. Does that all sound crazy? Does that sound like some crazy party-hopping guy who just reads Time Out Paris?
I'm sure there's plenty of parties everywhere.
There's good. Yeah,
you guys don't have FOMO ever?
What's that?
No.
Fear of missing out. It's a type of acronym.
If it was good, I would have been there.
That's a great attitude. If it was good, I would have been there. You never are, because I stay home a lot. Like, I try to work, and I get deep into my zone, and then later, I don't have that many friends, but people tell me, like, oh, this thing was so fun. And then I experience, you know, this pain, this sort of like, oh, God, my hair is going away, I'm not having meaningful life experiences.
Yeah, you gotta get out more. That's all I can tell
well,
you.
Well, no, I don't know.
I mean, you should at least just do what I do. You just go, and then if it's, you just get out.
Leave.
Yeah.
If it stinks, you leave.
Even if it's good, sometimes I leave. Like, within, like, 2 or 5 minutes. Like
2 or 5 minutes.
I feel, like, so lucky to have gone to so many nice parties at this point in my life.
Oh, my
I
God.
I swear.
Trying to make me slit my wrists?
I really swear. Like, I know. I feel like I don't.
You're
I'm
right.
not ever FOMO, because I'm, like, I'll have more, and I've had a lot, so...
Yeah. Wow. That's a really great attitude. So you feel like you have a quote-unquote blessed life.
I do.
What do they call that?
Hashtag blessed life?
Yeah.
Or did you want to say blessed?
No, a different word. Not blessed or blessed. A charm.
Semi-charmed. It's a song, but
yeah.
Charmed.
No, semi-charmed.
Yeah, that's... I said semi-charmed, and I said that's the song, not the saying.
Yeah. It's a great song, though. People... do that in karaoke, you know.
Baby, is that
what? This goes like that, yeah.
I think
Cody, why don't you write a song like that?
It's just not, I just, I don't
Don't
like
you think
will.
You could write one? I see, now, to me.
No, songs are like, I just think music is like.
Difficult.
It's a hook. I just, it's too much magic. You can't like.
In my mind, you've probably written 4 songs that are on that level. It's just that they haven't penetrated because of a confluence of certain factors.
I would probably agree with that. I'm just waiting for some like pop chick to cover one.
That's what I'm saying. There needs to, whether it's that or whether it's somehow the alchemy of the lyrics at the right moment and this 3 or 4 really big people sanctioning it to get into the world, could happen, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Michelle, you're a filmmaker, huh?
Even more famous.
You might say so.
Well, I don't really know.
Yeah,
our interaction has been really limited in this world.
Yeah.
Like, you were in my film for a brief moment, and then I saw you had a short outfest.
Yes. Yeah, so
how did that go?
That went really well. It was my first short, and it was an amazing, you know, it was a really amazing
well,
experience.
Well, okay, so it's your first short.
Yeah.
Your first personal expression, you know, film, it's this very specific thing, and you put it out there, you're sitting there with an audience.
Yeah.
And what was the reaction like?
I think Tierney was there, so she can let me know if I'm
wrong. But I want to hear from
you.
I think
that it felt like a positive reaction. People said some really great things to me, and it was obviously so scary, but
yeah.
Nobody was like, I didn't like it.
Okay, so is it a comedy or drama? What was it like?
I would say it's a comedy with some poignant moments.
It was a comedy. So were you nervous? Were you like, oh my God, people are laughing exactly when I want them to laugh?
Yeah.
And that must be so satisfying.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then sometimes laughed at stuff where I didn't think it was supposed to be funny. But you know what? The audience...
That's right. Once you put it out there in the world,
it's
I think
theirs.
We all know that.
It's theirs.
That's a great attitude. And now, Tierney, your report from the bleachers at Michelle's film...
People were loving it and very excited, but I think it's interesting. I think it's very funny, but I felt it was it was a comedy, I guess, but I wouldn't have.
It is more dramatic.
It's very extremely dramatic.
But some,
the entire tone of it is pulsating anxiety.
Except for that last...
But maybe it's just because I know you so well. It felt so real and so, like, a little bit,
Are you
like
in a Michelle, or...
No, I'm not... It's... Yeah. No, but it is... It's
semi-autobiographical,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah, but in the body of... I mean, it doesn't...
Not story-wise, but character-wise.
Yeah.
A little bit. I was also very... It's about, like, coming out. It's about coming out, I would say, but not necessarily coming out as gay, just coming out into a new realm of this character's, like, gay experience. Mm-hmm. And then when I met Michelle, she hadn't come out to most people. And, like, we were very together during this time, right? So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It was very cool for me.
So there was, Michelle, there was a moment where you hadn't come out yet, but you knew internally that I'm...
Yeah. I mean, I only came out because we were roommates freshman year of college, and mm-hmm. we were, like, we were laying in bed one night, and Tierney was just like, so, you want a boyfriend? I was like, I don't really know. And she was like, but you want a girlfriend? I was like, yeah, I think I do. And she was like, so you're a fucking lesbian? Why don't you just say something? I was like, oh, I guess so.
I was trying to flirt. I like to kiss girls. And she was like, me too. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, but do you want a boyfriend? You know, like, I was like, I would like boys, but, you know, I was still figuring things as well. But she was like,
are you getting Southern?
It was clearly, well, it was clear that she was more interested in women than I was.
So does that mean she wins?
Or more.
I win.
She won feminism.
Great.
I won.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So at that point, you hadn't kissed a girl yet, right?
I mean, I'd made out with maybe one or two girls, like very drunk friends, things, but not like actually kissed a girl, no.
And then since then.
And then that night, and then Tierney and I. No,
oh my
I know.
God, you little devils. Hey, but since then.
I've kissed a girl since then, yes.
A lot?
A few. A good few.
Were you in love with any of them?
Yeah.
How many times have you been in love?
Yeah, how many times?
Once.
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 How many times have you been in love?
Yeah, good question.
And every day, also.
I don't know. I don't think, in retrospect, I never think I've been in love.
Like, with a romance. You've been maybe platonically in love with people.
Oh, sure. And I've had times with people where maybe we were saying things like that. But yeah. I wouldn't chalk that up.
Do you feel like you look back reflectively on your life a lot and sort of, like, reanalyze it and recast it in your mind to make it better for you in the moment? Like, can you own up to, like...
Sure, yeah. I think
you're not a delusional person.
I think my type of delusion works well for me.
Everyone is, and they have to be.
Yeah, and right? People are constantly revising.
And everyone's delusional in their concepts of what relationships were, I think, at times. Like, moments you really realize things, and you're like, this worked for this purpose, whether or not that was delusional at the time or not, you know? I don't feel regretful about any of these things. I just am not, like... If I was, like, reflecting on a deep love, I'd love to, but there's none of y'all were...
Well, I wish you lots of love.
Thanks.
Oh,
no,
you as well.
Pray for me.
Yeah, I will. I will. I will say that I am proud of myself in my life because I have never been to that place that I think a lot of people get to in a couple where their relationship gets toxic. The second that I feel like it's getting toxic, I should cut it off. It's like, sorry, I think we need to break up. They're like, no, we can make it work. I'm like, no. This is already, the die has been cast. There is green bile.
Smart of you.
I think that's something to be proud of. I do.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
That's hard to do.
Like, so right now I'm in my longest relationship ever by, like,
how long?
20 months with Joan.
Okay.
Up until that, I've basically gotten out of relationships 5 or 6 months was my more or less limit. And then, you know, I started to get wandering penis. You know, the person I was with, even though we were madly in love, maybe for the first 3-4 months, would just start to see all the problems with me. I'd see all the problems with her, and then...
I remember you telling me you were looking for a new woman in a pool on 4th of July, maybe 2.5 or 3 years ago.
I'm always on the
right
hunt,
before.
You know? You know, I don't feel like I want to... I definitely don't feel like I want to be single now, but sometimes when you get in the place with those relationships, you're like, oh, I want to be like single, I want the space, I want the time, I want to be selfish, and I want the hunt, you know, because the hunt is exciting. And so when you're single... But then you get really lonely, too. I find, like, you know, I love meeting new people and, like, the excitement, the infatuation, the obsession, and just sort of, like, they...
The obsession is the best part.
But it turns me on. Like, I'm my best self when I'm obsessed. Like, when I'm pursuing someone, I'm, like, witty, cool, I try, you know? And I'm lucky I'm in a relationship now where I can still kind of do that, like, try and be cool and smart for the person because she keeps me on my toes, and I think she's better than me, so it's, like, I haven't conquered that.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Let me take it a step back. Cody, have you kissed a girl?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
For how many times?
I don't know, like, how many times?
Like a million or a billion?
Like before or still?
Wait, do I still kiss girls?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, of course.
But do you F them?
No, I've never had sex with a girl, but I love, my fans know this.
Oh, sorry.
I love squirt porn. So there's yeah.
It's interesting.
No, I don't. But it's weird because I'm a little bit torn about it because I like it. And I like finally like admitted to being like thinking it was sexy. But then it was like, oh. But then it was, it's complicated because I would feel bad to like lure someone into doing this with me.
But
and
what
then,
if it's
like,
a close friend?
Michelle can squirt.
Yeah. I have.
Really?
I have.
And there might not be... making a match here. And I hope we don't get rated. But I don't think there's any conflict of interest if you had asked
no
Michelle.
Currency exchange. Exactly. No currency exchange.
No, I'm scared because it's like, what if I was, like, in it, and then I was, like, in the middle of it, was like, wait, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. Like, then I would feel like I'd have to, like...
She would be so ashamed.
Like, but, like, you know what I'm saying, though? There's, like, a lot of...
Michelle, who's a close friend.
But then I'm, like, wondering, I'm like, well, is it just something that I like to watch?
Yeah, there's a lot that we like to watch and not do. Yeah.
I think that's like a main sexual fear of like knowing what things could be cool, but then thinking, do I want to live that really? Because
I think that's huge.
It's like a huge thing I encounter where I'm so open-minded and so like vastly aware of a sexual landscape, but I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. When I meet people who go for it,
that clean
and like I think
I'm not going to the sex party in the valley at the Motel 6.
Can I say a stereotype? Can I throw out a stereotype?
Yeah.
I feel like gay men, or at least the gay men that I've met,
are disgusting.
No. Exactly. Whereas I was,
and they're all
going to
burn in hell. I hate gay guys.
That's all Cody, by the way. That's just Cody.
Cody, Crigital, gay icon.
are way more like adventurous.
Cody,
well, because they're already
on
the fringe.
They're pigs.
Well, these are all the opinions. These opinions do not reflect.
It's because they're
on
so many poppers.
Open up a
I hate so hate speech.
Exactly, the poppers. So right. So if all the normal straights. That I met, we're all on poppers. You guys are theorizing.
I think there'd be a lot more pegging.
there is a lot of pegging.
Peg it up.
You know, peeps who enjoy pegging. Straight male peeps.
Not peeps that I'm pegging, but I've. They tell me.
They say, "Call me Peggy."
Call me Peggy, baby.
Are you doing poppers right now? What the hell is that?
Once I hear poppers mentioned.
Wait, what is that? What did you just put into your mouth?
I wanted to feel something. This is from the Himalayan Institute. It's an aromatherapy inhaler. I actually, my friend Simon, who might be listening right now, he's been having this type of inhaler, a different brand, but a similar natural style of Vicks.
I wanted
to introduce it back to my
life. Something I read. Let's talk about corporations for a second. This is shocking. Okay, one thing that I think we can all agree on from the last 15 years, just growing up, being American, is take a sniff, if you want, is that 8 ounces of water is really good for you.
Yeah.
Right?
I heard there's a study that said no.
Wait, what does it say?
Well, no, there's a scientist. It's not a study. There's a scientist who referenced a few studies and said that's baloney. And he had his own theory for why it's baloney. Basically, he says, look, really, like, you should just eat fruits and vegetables.
That's what my
dad
has
all the water,
said,
right?
Yeah.
But the most shocking thing to me is that he revealed that the main source of a lot of this sort of assumed knowledge that we can all accept in the last 15 years is studies funded by Nestle. Okay. And Nestle, of course.
Corporate vested interests.
Yeah, they are the biggest supplier of bottled water in the world.
Nestle's known as one of the grossest things
they're
ever.
They're so evil. Like, they famously repackage all this California water and then sell it at, like, a crazy
Also, they
markup.
Get women, you know, hooked to their formula products and then stop
tell
providing. Well, I don't want to talk... Well, I'll already.
Tell
us. So I don't know the exact details, but I do.
Bible slander.
They were in a country in Africa. Nestle had brought a bunch of like baby formula, instant baby formula,
right.
and offered it to people that were like needed food
it's
as this wonderful
as
alternative,
like a front,
as a charity,
a
yeah.
Okay.
And then after a lot of these women, their breast milk dried up, and they were used to using this formula. Then
right.
they started selling it to them. To people that didn't,
that was a pusherman.
Yeah.
Mm. So that got me started thinking, right? This whole water Nestle, whatever.
F Nestle.
But then it got me started thinking, like, you know, like Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, all that stuff. Like, at what point?
Blow the whistle.
No, at what point? Like, are you like at what point does doubt, suspicion? Just a subversive added skepticism towards life turn into paranoia. Like, at what point do you start thinking, like, chemtrails, that's a problem. Like, watch out for that. You know.
I know people deeply embroiled in that type of
paranoia. I do, too, and it seems absurd to me. And I always want to just be like, psh, like, chill out, man. Like, there are things that are real, and there are things that are fake. But maybe it's all real. Ever seen The X-Files?
Yeah, and the real things are just already getting us. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, figure out your own way to feel like you're doing something good within the context of what you can't control. Like, you're not going to stop the chemtrails.
But my idea is, like, the chemtrails aren't, they're not a real
not
thing.
Not even bad.
They're not controlling the environment through fucking.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think they're, do you think they're dropping, like, mind-altering, like,
I don't think
gases onto us?
I have a lot of dreams where that happens, but I don't know necessarily.
I don't think
Call
it's
that
not
nightmare.
Real. And I don't.
You don't. You're an agnostic. You don't think it's not real, but you don't. You have to be proved that it's real.
I don't need to be proven. I think if that's not real, it's a metaphor for power. It's like a way that people. It's funny to me. I was talking to Michelle. It's like people today actually have such an like acute understanding of like they don't. But, like, they think there's, like, more of an understanding of, like, how to critique powers that be, whether that means, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z or, like, chemtrails and, you know what I mean, like, larger government stuff. But then, like, the people who are most passionate about that kind of thing focus in on, like, these little niche areas of it that become, it's actually, like, a wonderful distraction from actually, like, critiquing these things in a way that, like, positively dismantles them.
Well, you're talking about a difference between a sort of, like, looking at things systemically or globally and then saying, like, okay, actually, it's all these things are just a front for something bigger.
Even
but
bigger.
But a counter-argument might be, like, how do we even begin to dismantle that without, like, dismantling smaller things?
But the smaller things are, like,
okay, well, then
the,
let me throw you...
The
me,
red hair, you know, like, the distractors.
The red hair.
Let me throw something at
that.
You, then. Current events. I don't mean to dwell on it. I like to get personal with my guests. Let me dwell on something. So, like... 2 or 3 weeks ago, like Bernie Sanders, I think he's a good candidate. Probably I will vote for the first time in my life. He's up on stage in Seattle, and then some reps or, you know, people who just paid Black Lives Matter came up on stage and, like, interrupted him and, you know, were just taking the mic and didn't let him speak, right? Now, Bernie Sanders' whole thing, theoretically, is that there's, like, a systemic problem. Right, and his critique is this, I'm going to fix the system. The system is economic inequality that destroys everything. That destroys the black community, middle classes. That creates an immigration problem. That creates all the problems. Economic inequality. Billionaires run this country. They decide what happens. We all live as puppets through their decisions. All right.
Yeah.
So kind of what you're saying is like, okay, well, once we fix that, let's say that's the systemic problem. That's what we need to focus on. But then, and that's what a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters said, like, yo, Black Lives Matter,
no,
shut the
but
fuck
it's like
up,
the,
because once we fix economic inequality,
yeah, I feel you, but it's
fine.
Not the same, because what I'm talking about is, like, instead of really thinking critically about the way that, like, let's say pop stars influence our, like, spending habits and overall
mm-hmm.
culture, and, like, instead we're just, like, Jay-Z, you know, Michelle telling me about blind items in which Illuminati conspirators are talking about Jay-Z murdering all these people and stuff, and, like, that's, like, one way.
So
these
Michelle
people are you're so passionate and excited. But I'm saying that's also, yeah, like that's an example of a thing, like a product of a systematic thing to talk about. But Black Lives Matter is part of a systematic thing that actually really, like, that matters. Okay, yeah, that's
just,
not a,
I just,
you know.
Misunderstood you then.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
I mean,
accurate,
you were talking
but not
about sort of more fringe, superficial. Sort of
it like, would be like if Bernie Sanders was like, here's a systematic problem. We must focus on
Illuminati.
Like, you know, yeah.
Illuminati.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, we're kind of coming,
I
to
wish
the end,
that was
we're kind of coming nearing the end of the show. So actually, that was going to be my question. Let me go down the row here. Tomorrow morning at your temporary doorstep, the Illuminati who controls all the power in the universe comes up to you, Cody, and says, are you in? Join
what,
us.
What is it, though?
It is a secret organization that has run society from the beginning.
So it's a person or a...
It's a group. And you can join this group, but you have to tell me in the next 30 seconds.
But what's in it for me?
You basically, you can do whatever you want in your life, and society will move in the direction that you want it, as long as it coheres to the balance of power that we create, the Illuminati.
I mean, I would have. They would have to tell, give me more info.
You could have unlimited power.
I mean, I'm not saying I was sure.
You could have. You'd never be wanting money. You'd never feel insecure. You any success you want, you'd get it.
You would feel insecure no matter what.
Well, that's a good response to them. But then they say, "Hey, look, what do you want? Glory? We can give you glory. Fame? We can give you that. You want the best lover in the world? We can give you that." You want money? We got it. Just
but what's... There has to be... You can't...
Well, the catch is that there's no morality.
The catch is also that they would... They brainwash. You would become a puppet to their...
But you're the highest level puppet. You're the highest level.
Like Marilyn Monroe, if you you know, believe the Illuminati.
You get everything you want.
The moving pictures.
Are you in?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It's a,
yeah, it does.
No, because it's just... It, like, that sounds too good to be true, and I feel like... I don't know. I just don't... I don't know.
Like, would you consider yourself indecisive or decisive?
It depends.
Mm-hmm. Like, when you're directing something... when you're... I think the indication is there, but let me just broach a little further. When you're directing something, you're decisive, you think?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you're writing a song, are you decisive?
No.
Okay. When you are sitting with someone, you think, oh, I want to make a move on this person. Decisive or indecisive? Also depends?
Depends. Like, sometimes I'm
I know
like,
I'm always decisive.
It's just, it's sometimes my mojo is, like, raging, and sometimes it's, I just want
to... What do you think
that
has to do with season or eating habits?
I, like, curl up in a ball, and, like, I just, it, I don't know. It's
Tierney, are you joining the Illuminati? Or are you ready for a life of despair and fighting and rebellion and just a whole life? It's going to be one long slog through an unjust system where you're, frankly, suffering.
I think the Illuminati is just a metaphor.
You are so poetic.
That is true, though. And suffering is, like, it's so important.
It is, right?
Yes, it's so important.
For access to... empathy and the creative process, is that your belief?
Yeah.
And Michelle,
sure.
are you going to grab the brass ring?
Well, I would just like to say, first of all, that the mic I'm using is a pyramid shape with a mic.
Exactly.
It looks
all
a bit
around
like
us.
The all-seeing eye, and with the questions
You've
you're asking
it.
Me...
You guys have them, I don't.
I think... maybe you have an agenda here. I think maybe you are the Illuminati.
No, I'm an
and
innocent
you're asking
soul.
This now.
No.
Look at the
you know,
look
I
at
wish
this,
I wish someone would ask
say,
me, actually.
I am Illuminati. Asking you.
No, but I wish the real Illuminati would ask
How,
me.
I can't imagine they wouldn't want at least
a part
two
of
out of four of us.
Wait, once
I really wanted to say I can't imagine they wouldn't want me.
Well, you can own that. See, now that's the Illuminati attitude I'm talking about. I think you're a great candidate.
I do have it. But, you know, I think...
You got it, babe.
I don't want to say too much.
All right, guys. So we're basically about to wrap up. Any last thoughts while you guys have the mic?
It really did feel like 5 minutes.
Went by
pretty fast. It felt great.
Okay, well, I have one last question I usually ask. It's kind of a variation on the same little silly question.
What's my favorite curse word?
It's sillier than that because it might leave you with a sense of dread as we walk out of the room. We'll start with Michelle.
Okay.
It's August 25th. 2015.
I'm gonna write this down.
At 9:57 p.m. Tuesday. What are you doing 6 months from now in the perfect Michelle life?
In the perfect Michelle life, 6 months from now.
Right.
Well, 6 months from now, I have the job that I'm waiting to hear back from.
What is it?
Right now,
can
it's,
tell
it's,
us.
I don't know.
You don't
want to
jinx it.
It's a TV writing position.
Cool. That'd be great. In a writer's room.
In a writer's room.
With great power comes great responsibility. Let me say two depressing
things. Uncle
Ben
said that.
Yes, exactly. With great power comes great responsibility. And this is truly depressing. And then we're going to move on to Tierney. The grass is always greener. Okay, so Tierney, 12 months from today, a year from now, what is the perfect Tierney life?
The perfect Tierney life in 1 year, I'll be 24, and it'll be the summertime.
That's how many hours there are in a day.
And, yeah, so that's interesting. And I don't know, man. I hope that I am making things that I like.
What is that? What could be a thing that you like 12 months from now?
I hope Michelle and Nico and I can just write a show.
That's what you want.
Have be in it. I'd like to direct it. I want a show. I want a show on, like, Netflix or something
like
that.
How would you actualize that in the next 9 months?
Well, I have another goal that's prior to 12 months, which is also to have a thriving sex content platform on the site that I work for that isn't launched yet. So that's actually...
Sex content meaning, like, not just, conventional
No,
sex.
Not porn, like, journalism right. stuff. So I'm just okay. saying, like, you're asking how do I actualize. Like, I feel all the time in terms of sharing work in a journalistic way and an acting way and a directing way. So I'm like, hey, I could tell stories a lot of different ways. Who wants to tell them with me and fund them for me in the best, chillest ways? And let's get on it, stat.
And Cody?
But I would be on vacation in the ideal world.
Yeah, on vacation from all that success.
From all that amazing life.
Okay, great. And Cody, while we wrap it up here, what is your amazing life 9 months from now? Ideal Cody life. That's the beginning of the summer, really. 2016.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Just a lot of passion.
Yeah.
You know.
Who knows?
That. Like a lot of passion.
No one
like,
knows. That's why we're a lot of passion.
But just navigating through like a lot of
the Illuminati.
Passion and magic and obsession and like love, romance, you know. Like,
what if you're married 9 months from now? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, I could. Yeah, why not? Of course.
You
of course.
Feel like anything could happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you could be married tomorrow, and you could be homeless 2 days from now.
I will not be homeless.
You won't be homeless.
I will
so
never
not
be
anything.
Homeless.
You will never be homeless. Uh-huh. Have you been homeless before?
Nope.
And you never will be.
No, I know how to work.
We heard it here first, guys. Cody Criciolo will never be homeless. Thank you.
For saying particulars.
No.
No.
You all sounded so incredibly delightful and entertaining.
Well
Thank you for
spake.
Coming. Thank you for coming on Open Up and Bleed. It was a great pleasure to have you guys. Tune in next week for another incredible guest and my report from Birmingham, Alabama. tune in to Eric's show coming up next, Strip Mall. Thanks for listening.